Dr. Carter, if you could tell us about, if you like, the social impact of the French Revolution to start and the Napoleonic Wars.
Okay. Well, the immediate reaction to the French Revolution in Britain is quite positive. The immediate reaction is, oh, you finally caught up with us. You're getting rid of absolutism. We did that ages ago. Well done. Welcome to the party. It's only a few people like Edmund Burke who initially, immediately say, this is going to end badly. This is going to be a disaster. Once the trajectory of the revolution becomes more bloody, clearly attitudes in Britain kind of harden quite quickly, and it starts to be seen as a problem. And so once war breaks out in 1793, the British public is kind of quite ready for it. They've sort of been changing their opinion from 1789. So initially, there is already a very kind of fervent sort of ideological debate going on, and it has a lot of resonance with things that we might still be familiar with. What is the nature of a just war? Is it okay to go to war for ideological reasons rather than purely territorial reasons? Getting into issues of what's a woman's place in war, which we will kind of get into a little bit later. What's the nature of tyranny? What's the nature of justice? What's the nature of freedom? All the sorts of things that war provokes, and very kind of heated debates on both sides of that. So the war definitely has an ideological impact. If you kind of look at what happens to print culture in the 1790s, the sort of political angles of things really kind of spike. Even women who are publishing in the 18th century, but often kind of confined to talking about feminine topics, find themselves kind of veering into talking about politics and talking about war, because as Anna Seward kind of puts it, thinking minds of each sex will find it resistless in kind of a situation like this. So it has that sort of immediate impact, but it has much wider impacts. If we think about what's happening to the economy and a country that is importing a lot of its food, between 1789 and 1800, so just in the space of 100 years, you see wheat prices double. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're male, female, whoever you are going to notice the fact that your weekly shop is suddenly an awful lot more, and prices are kind of rocketing ahead. You would also kind of notice the fact that this war, unlike a number of previous wars, relies much more on domestic manpower to fight it. So much more raising new regiments, pulling kind of manpower from the civilian population in. Previous wars had kind of relied much more on sort of foreign mercenaries and things to kind of bulk out the number of people fighting. So you'd have that sort of impact. So Clive Emsley has estimated that it's something like 1 in 10 British men are involved in fighting between 1793 and 1815. And if you include the home and the militia regiments, that goes up to 1 in 6. So this is pretty huge. And you would definitely kind of notice, you know, I think it's you know, lots of people write about the idea that there are going to be few families in the country who don't at least know of somebody who is involved in fighting, whether it's an immediate family member, whether it's, you know, the neighbour's boy or whoever, you're going to know somebody who is involved in it. And that's going to have an impact on things like industry and agriculture. So you get Home Office reports about the fact that, for example, women are being taken into taking over some of the harvest roles, taking over kind of some of the kind of weaving jobs and things. There's a Home Office report from a spy in Wigan who kind of worries about the fact that women are getting a little bit too cocksure of themselves because they're earning sort of money and sort of saying, you know, that they're really not kind of particularly keen on kind of giving up the job once the war is over. So it's having sort of economic impacts, it's having sort of a manpower impact, it's having a sort of political divide within the Whig Party in particular, but politicians of all stripes are kind of finding themselves coming down in different positions. It's having religious impact. So there's quite a sort of a split between your Anglicans, who tend to be more pro-Tory and more straightforward, God supports the war, God is going to kind of help us, and your non-conformists, who are a little bit more kind of tending towards pacifism in many cases, and troubled by the idea of whether breaking one of the Ten Commandments is ever justifiable. So you're starting to kind of get debates about those sorts of issues as well. Beyond that, we can kind of think of the sort of the social cultural buzz that is created by war. And that's going to vary depending on where you are. So if you are in a port town, for example, or if you're near one of the very huge military camps that's set up, Worley or Cox Heath, you are going to notice men drilling in the streets. You are going to notice large numbers of people embarking or disembarking. There are reports that come in from places like Portsmouth and Plymouth, for example, that when there's a big retreat from some of the peninsular campaigns and the ships kind of arrive back with wounded men, that basically there are just not enough hospital beds for everybody to kind of be put into. And basically the townspeople are kind of having to sort of, talks about women having to rip up petticoats and things to kind of create extra bandages because there's just not enough to go around. So depending on where you are in the country, you might really kind of notice it very sort of close and personal. If you are a little bit more, shall we say, sort of, you know, landlocked, you maybe wouldn't notice quite the same scale. But even there, you know, the food prices are still going to have gone up. You're still going to have perhaps lost people from the local kind of farming community or whatever it might be. And there are also reports about the idea of illuminating your windows when there is news of a victory, for example. So you'd kind of have a little sort of cutout and you would have a candle behind it, sort of, you know, celebrating it. And reports of windows getting broken if they failed to put an illumination in it. So you kind of needed, to some extent, to not sort of seclude yourself and say, oh, it's happening, you know, across the channel, I don't need to worry about it, because actually it's having all sorts of social impacts. And playwrights are writing plays about it. The West End is kind of full of sort of plays and songs. Satirists take it on. You can kind of see a lot of the satire of the period. It's really very kind of political and very kind of war-related. So I don't want to kind of over sort of egg it by say, you know, every single person for the entire 22 years of the war is going to be kind of, you know, eating, sleeping and breathing the war. But I think it would be impossible for it to be going on and you not to be noticing the impact, even if you're a civilian.